Good morning, Crossline. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I hope you all are still in a festive spirit. My name is Shay Bates, and I serve as the Director of Administration here at Crossline. And since we are filming this in advance, I am probably just like you, snuggled up on the couch right now, blanket around me, coffee in my hand, dog on my lap, family around me. Future me is very happy right now. You see, the week between Christmas and New Year, it is my absolute favorite week of the year. It is a week of comfy clothes, not knowing what day of the week it is, and just nowhere to be. It is a full week dedicated to rest, and I love it. And for some of you, this might be the only week you feel you can afford to rest. And by rest, I don't mean napping through Sunday football on the couch or binge watching Netflix, although that is amazing as well. I mean the kind of rest that is soul fulfilling. Given the fact that our society treats the hustle as the end all be all, and we look at rest as laziness or luxury, I can imagine some of you might actively avoid rest as much as possible. Well, not only is true soul-fulfilling rest possible, but it's also available to us. So imagine the kind of rest that releases the burdens you might be carrying around, the kind that lets you breathe again, that restores childlike joy, that encourages thriving, not just surviving. This is the kind of rest Jesus offers us in the scripture we're going to unpack today. From Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Here, Jesus is speaking to crowds of Israelites that were carrying around a burden of rule following and meeting impossible expectations that the Pharisees were holding them to. As hard as they tried, they could never fully follow the ever-changing religious regulations. The goalpost was always moving, and they were an exhausted group of people trying to keep up. When Jesus speaks directly into that exhaustion with a beautiful invitation, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just like the Israelites, Jesus is extending that invitation to us today. Now, we may not be crushed under religious laws or ancient expectations, but we are absolutely people carrying around heavy burdens. Our lives might look different than theirs, but our souls are just as weighed down. We carry burdens like the pressure to be everything to everyone, perfectionism, trying to live up to unrealistic expectations, anxiety that wakes us up in the middle of the night, fear of disappointing people, fear of failure, comparison, insecurity fueled by social media. We have strained marriages, empty friendships, grief we haven't fully processed, guilt we don't know how to get rid of, shame from past mistakes, and the constant exhausting pace of never feeling caught up. We are definitely weary, and for sure, we are burdened. To help us understand the kind of rest that Jesus is offering us, I want to break down Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, through three questions. Question one, what do you need rest from? Question two, what do you need to rest for? And three, will you accept the invitation? Let's start with what do you need rest from? Well, I'm going to tell you about a time in my life where weary and burdened felt like an understatement. For as long as I can remember, I have been a people-pleasing perfectionist, which is honestly a terrible combination. And about 14 years ago, I hit the peak of that chaos after one of the best and hardest years of my life. In the span of 1 year, I lost my brother in a tragic accident. And my husband and I welcomed our third child. So talk about the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Then, while I was on maternity leave, I got offered a new role at work, one in which I had never done before, which meant going back to work meant doing something I had never done at all, let alone perfectly. So for a perfectionist, This was a nightmare. So picture this. I have a newborn baby, which means not a lot of sleep happening, which means my sanity is not there. I have two young boys. I have a grieving family, my own grieving heart, a new job I didn't know how to do. And my husband had just started his own company, which meant I held the steady paycheck and the family insurance. Because childcare is devastating when you have three kids financially, my retired parents graciously agreed to watch all three of my kids. Yes, you heard that right. So there I was, trying to be the perfect mom, the perfect wife, the perfect employee, the perfect daughter, all while grieving. I was exhausted, physically, spiritually, mentally, every way that you can be exhausted. And in that exhaustion, I made a very big mistake at work, a costly mistake. And my boss was not gracious about it. In fact, I can still hear her screaming at me on the phone, telling me I would need to work late to fix the issue. Minutes later, I got a call from my dad asking if I could leave work early because he and my mom were exhausted and my kids were missing me. So in the span of 15 minutes, I managed to disappoint my boss, my parents, my kids. For a people pleaser, that is about as soul crushing as it can get. So I sat down at my desk and I broke, full on tears in the middle of my workday. Utterly overwhelmed, I called my husband and I said, I cannot do this anymore. I need to quit. And he said the most magical four words I've ever heard, we'll figure it out. So naturally, I hung up the phone, called my boss, and I put in my 2 weeks' notice, and I did it in a spectacular way, like the kind of way you probably imagine quitting a job you hate, that way. I called my husband back super excited to tell him the good news, and to my surprise, he had a very different interpretation of we'll figure it out. He meant with a plan, over time, definitely not that afternoon. But that ship had sailed. I had made sure of it. So there we were, one income, no insurance family, with three young kids. And I should have been panicked, but I wasn't. I was relieved. Now, I do need to note, I do not recommend doing this. It was incredibly irresponsible of me and, quite frankly, out of character. But quitting the way I did, it made me realize how depleted I had become. And let me be clear, my exhaustion did not come from my circumstances or my responsibilities. It came from me striving to be the perfect person to all people. And here is what I learned from that experience. When we ignore that kind of exhaustion long enough, it starts making decisions for us, and exhausted people don't make wise choices, clearly. And this is what Jesus speaks to when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." He is saying, put down what is choking your spirit and bring it to me. So let me ask you, what might you need to rest from? Is there something that is exhausting your soul? I want you to close your eyes and imagine what it would mean for you to lay down the thing that you keep dragging into the new year, year after year. I'm sure for you, it's not people-pleasing or trying to be perfect. Maybe it's the pressure to hold on to everything all together, all at once. The pressure to be the rock, the fixer, the provider, the one who never cracks. Maybe it's financial stress no one knows about, a job that's draining you. Maybe it's anger you don't know how to deal with. Maybe you're just tired from working so hard for so long and it never feeling enough. Maybe you just need better balance in your life. But here's the thing. Rest isn't only about what you're putting down. It's about what God is preparing you to pick up. Which leads to our second question. What do you need rest for? Well, that season of my life became a wake-up call. I started to realize that what I needed wasn't just a break from my schedule, it was a reset for my soul. I realized my whole adult life, I had been working from emptiness, not from purpose. Jesus wasn't calling me to quit everything. He was inviting me to do everything differently. Because rest isn't about what we stop doing. It's what we're being prepared for. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Resting isn't inactivity. It's a dedicated time where we are actively learning from Jesus about a better way to do life. What do we rest for? So our souls can be recalibrated. So our hearts can get realigned with God again. So we can continue growing in the roles that God has called us to. Husband or wife, mom or dad, daughter, son, employee, coworker, followers of Jesus. And what I find so incredible is that God literally designed our bodies to need rest to grow. Like it's part of our biology. Did you know that you don't build muscle while you're working out? The muscle actually grows when you're resting. When you exercise, you tear muscle fibers, these little microscopic tears, which is why you often feel sore the next day. And then when you rest, your body goes into repair mode. And get this, it doesn't just fix the muscle, it grows the muscle. How cool is that? God created your body to get stronger in the rest, not in the grind. Sports physiologists even have a saying, training breaks you down and rest builds you back up. Elite athletes like Michael Phelps, they schedule their sleep as much as they schedule their workouts. NFL teams literally force recovery days on their athletes because skipping rest increases injury by 50%. And this doesn't just apply to sports. Business leaders have adopted this concept. Bill Gates, he takes full think weeks. It took me a full week of practicing that. Think weeks, where he spends 7 days alone to rest and reflect. Companies like Google, they have nap pods and quiet rooms for built-in rest spaces because they know tired people make tired decisions. You simply can't have peak performance when you are running on empty. And this is the part that blows my mind. The science, the training programs, the business models, it all echoes what God has commanded of us, which is a rhythm of work and rest. Rest isn't stopping, it's preparing. Just like our muscles, our spirit gets stronger in the rest. Jesus modeled this perfectly. In Luke 5, he is performing miracles. He is healing people, drawing a crowd. I mean, the momentum is building. This is the height of his ministry. And right in the middle of that, scripture tells us, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He rested. If the Savior of the world needed and took rest, then friends, so can we. So, now, hopefully you may have identified what you need rest from, and we've defined what the purpose of the rest is. So let me ask you the last question. Will you accept Jesus' invitation to rest in him? Jesus ends by saying, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In case you aren't familiar with farming equipment in biblical times, let me enlighten you. A yoke was a wooden harness used to link two animals together so that they could pull in unison. The stronger one set the pace and the other one followed. That is what Jesus is inviting us into. A life where we're not carrying the weight alone. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's saying, "Do life with me, in step, side by side, and let me carry the heavy part." So as amazing as that sound, and it does sound amazing, you might be asking yourself, but great, how? Well, let's go back to me 14 years ago, fresh out of a job and with a determination to deal with the things I needed rest from, my people-pleasing perfectionism. To be honest, this is a continued work in progress, but I have come a long way from the girl I was 14 years ago when out of desperation, she up and quit her job in the most irresponsible way. And as I look back and reflected on the changes and recalibration of my soul, a few key things stood out to me that made a big impact, and I'm going to share them with you today in prayer that these might have an impact to you as well. The first thing I did was create a daily routine of opening my Bible. At that point in my life, I had been a follower of Jesus, but really as a Sunday only kind of follower. But with a new routine to establish and plenty of time on my hands, I joined a Bible study at our church. This required me to do daily homework, which meant I was opening my Bible every day. I would get up before my kids, get my pen and my highlighter like a good little perfectionist does, and I'd sit down and dive headfirst into learning. Now, I did not set out to make that part of my life, but here we are, 14 years later, and still today, if you ask my kids where they will find me when I wake up, they will tell you I'm in my chair doing my Bible study. Sometimes this is a 10-minute YouVersion Bible app devotional. Sometimes it is an intense study where I'm flipping through verses and versions. Sometimes I do it with a group like Insights that we offer here at Crossline. Sometimes I do it on my own. Sometimes, lately, I'm so tired in the morning, I literally just open up my Bible and read whatever chapter's in front of me. But whatever it involves, it is 10 to 45 minutes of intentional time in God's Word. And I have found that if I skip this for a couple of days, that my soul will begin to crave it, like your body would crave vegetables after a junk food bender. There's almost this tangible shift that happens where I go back to my people-pleasing ways until I align my soul again in God's Word. And listen, maybe mornings aren't your thing. I get it. Or maybe you have a morning routine already established. But where in your day could you take 10 minutes to get into the Word? Could you maybe read at lunch instead of working through it? Or open up your Bible app while your kid is practicing? Could you end your day reading a chapter? If you'll carve out just 10 minutes for God's Word, you will find it gives you the clarity, the strength, and the steadiness you might have been trying to muscle through on your own. The next thing I started doing was praying over my problems. Before spiraling into fixing and controlling outcomes, I began pausing and praying so that I could invite Jesus into solutions. I can't say that I have mastered this, but when I do it consistently, the outcomes are so much more pleasing. I actually keep a prayer journal, and in that journal, I write out my prayers, my anxieties, my concerns, my prayers over people. I pray for protection, for wisdom, for answers. You name it, I pray it. Every once in a while, typically around this time of the year, I bring out my old journals and I flip through them, and it is like this beautiful timeline where I can see the ways that God has walked alongside me and pulled me out of some storms. I pray often and throughout the day, but at least once a day, I am pausing and intentional with my conversation with Jesus, and I have found this is the quickest way to rest when my soul gets weary. And the third thing and most recent thing that I have done to incorporate rest into my life is I have built in a Sabbath day. When I say Sabbath, I don't just mean a day where you rest from work, although that's definitely part of it. Biblically, Sabbath is a day set apart to worship, to pause, and to intentionally remember the one who provides everything we have. Sabbath is less about what you're doing and more about who you're turning your attention toward. I work a Sunday through Thursday schedule because, spoiler alert, I work for a church and Sundays are a big day for us. So my Sabbath is on Fridays. No matter what my Friday looks like, whether I'm doing something fun or I'm running errands or I'm just doing household chores, I try to pause throughout the day and acknowledge God's goodness in the middle of the ordinary. One of my neighbors recently told me something and it stuck with me. When he grocery shops, he pauses to thank God that he can buy the food without wondering if he'll have to put something back. He said, "I've been in that situation before and I know I could easily be back there. So I stop and I thank God for where I am today." And that is what Sabbath can look like. It's not just inactivity, it's awareness. It's choosing to slow down long enough to see the blessings we normally rush past. And to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad in it." Sabbath isn't about escaping. It's about noticing God in your life, in the chores, in the fun, in the laughter, and in the middle of the grocery store. And that's the beauty of rest. When we slow down long enough to notice God, He strengthens us for everything He's called us to do next. For me, this day propels me forward to show up well in the other 6 days. And the last thing I did, and probably the hardest, was I put in the soul work. I went to therapy. I eventually took our soul care class so I could invite God into the wounds of my soul that were the cause of my people pleasing. I can proudly now say that I am a recovering people pleaser. I am not afraid to disappoint you, and I am not afraid to make mistakes, which I do quite often. I know now that I am a child of God. I know this deep in my soul, and I know that He does not demand perfection from me. He just wants my presence, and it is in that presence that my soul is at rest. Accepting the invitation to lay down my burdens and take up the yoke of Jesus, it has made me a better mom, a better friend, a better wife, a better coworker. It's quite frankly just made me a better human. I can handle more and I can show up for people with a calmness and a peace that 14 years ago, I just didn't know was possible. So now, while we're in the sweet spot of the year, we have this little reprieve where most of us finally get a moment to breathe. Will you accept Jesus's invitation? Will you take the time to honestly consider, what do you need rest from? Because imagine the version of you that isn't weighed down anymore. And remind yourself, what do I need rest for? Because rest is where real growth happens. It's the time God uses to reset what is off. And finally, will you accept the invitation that Jesus offers when He says, come to me and I will give you rest? As you make those New Year's resolutions, would you consider adding daily, weekly, seasonal rhythms? I gave you some great examples, but honestly, just choose a simple change, a shift, any shift towards accepting the invitation to rest in Jesus. This year, let's rest from the burdens that have been choking our peace, and let's rest for the life God is calling us to live. And let's accept the invitation to rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being a God who invites us to rest. Help us this year, Lord, to find space and time to invite you into those places in our soul that just are weighing us down, Lord. Give us what we need to create the rhythms that bring us back to you again and again. Amen.